One famous person, we want to emulate Jesus because he is the famous one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You are the Lord, the famous one, famous one.
Hallelujah.
The famous one. You never hear anyone talking about the late, great Jesus. Because he is.
He's great, he's not late.
That's right, he's never late. You can count on it. Well, a wonderful, precious and loving and good morning to all of you this morning. And God is glad you're here. But I'm more glad that he's here. Nice we got a few faces on him though, isn't it?
And,
well, we have a lot of things that are going to happen among us this morning, and some testimonies that are going to be very excellent of what God is doing in your lives. But before we do, I have two announcements that aren't on that announcement board, and I just want to get these out of the way. Next week, Carl Erickson will be a guest speaker, and that's Carl there before he grew a beard in his younger days, and Fritz Ledwinka. Those of you that read my book on missions, Fritz was one who was very instrumental in organizing a lot of our Eastern European journeys, and Carl went with me twice. He went in 1992 and he went again in 1994, and he started here with us, that'll be 25 years ago in February, and he played a bass too over in that corner with a wash tub and a piece of clothesline on it. And then we had a washtub bass, but Carl has been in and out. He's visited from time to time, but he's very much looking forward to coming and bringing the word to all of us next week. And as we always do whenever we have a guest speaker, this is a heads up, we always receive a love offering for our guest speakers. So I just want you to be prepared for that next week. I don't want to catch anybody off guard. And also, Thursday, September 27th, that's an odd night. That's not a night that we have any church activities usually, but how many are interested in finances at this time? Anybody interested in the economy and finances and where things are going in our country? Only one of you? Okay, I'll let this guy know because he's coming. I'll tell him we got at least one. His name is John F. McManus. John McManus is also an author, but he's the publisher of the New American Magazine, and he's also done scripts and videos, teaching seminars, and he's going to be here on Thursday, September 27th at 7 o'clock. And this will be a very interesting meeting because this topic is going to be explaining soaring prices and the shrinking dollar, the role of the Federal Reserve in our economic woes, and the lessons of history and wise advice from our founding fathers. So this is going to be a Christ-centered look at our economy, the situation in our nation about inflation and all the things that you realize how quick gas prices go up and things like that that we all deal with. But it's from a biblical perspective, and it should be a very, very interesting meeting. So it is a different night, Thursday night, but that'll be on the 27th, so that's coming up in a couple weeks. All right, I have one. I saved one for last. It goes with our opening scripture, so I'd like to do the opening scripture and then the testimony. Opening scripture this morning is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And this is very important about how people perceive us as a church, as a body, but also individually. What do people see in our lives? What are we known for? What footprints do we leave? Because everyone leaves footprints in life. You can't get away from it. People eventually are going to know you for something. And so many times, that sign out there, when the letters got all bad on it, I just wanted to blot it all out and put that church on it. Because that's what we're known for in this area, that church. What church do you go to? Renewed Life in Jesus. Oh, that church. You know, you all heard that, haven't you? Okay, so if I'm still here when those letters wear off again, It could be that church. But anyway, there's some wonderful things that we're known for here. And I found it in Scripture. Chapter 1, Colossians, verses 3 and 4. And I had it out of the NIV today. Puts words in a better order. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have all God's people. Now, those are very important qualities as a body of believers that people would know us for, know you for as a person, that we've heard of your faith. You know, sometimes it's just wonderful to share a testimony of what God has done because we're hearing of your faith. Emily's testimony. When you can't breathe and God does something, that's worth shouting about. Your eyesight is failing and God does something, that's worth telling somebody about. Your back out of whack and God lines it back up, that's worth telling somebody about. You're known. That's why testimony time is important, because it's important for each one of us to know that God is alive and well and working in each of our lives, and that is a great testimony. But there's something else that goes on in this church. There is a love here that people have often testified of, and it's because of you, the love of Christ that you have. Christ in you manifests himself in love, not only to you, but in you and through you to the lives of others. And today I just want to read a note that I got in the mail this week from some visitors we had from Connecticut. I don't know how long ago it was. I kind of lose track of visitors sometimes. They always come and they tell us, oh, we really love your church. There's a lot of love here. And they go on their way, and some we never see again. But this particular couple actually put their words in writing. And this is for all of you, even though it's addressed to me, but it's to all of you. The Spirit, Jesus' love, and the Father shone through you on us while we visited your church. I wish and pray his joy, love, be upon you, through you, holding you all of your days. Wonderful joy to see how he loves us. And they sent a very, very reasonably large donation to this church with the following note on the back of this note. Donation to help you continue to spread Jesus' love and truth. That's to all of you. So don't think that these things don't matter. They do matter. They matter a lot. We have people that stop in from time to time. They've been skiing or just come up for leaf peeping season or whatever. And you may never know who comes through the door. But that's going to be part of the message I brought today. God wants me to talk about hospitality today. So after the second round of praise and worship and we get to the message part of the service, I want to talk more about that. But don't ever stop loving people. That's probably the charge against me that I hear the most. Oh, Rick, he's so simple. All he ever does is talk about the love of God. We're looking for more deeper relationships. Well, let me tell you, if you think that walking in the love of God is easy, try it for a day. And you don't get all bent out of shape at somebody, and you don't want to get even with them, and you don't want to rise up and raise up a standard against someone who's spoken against you. Try it for one 24-hour period and see if that's not deep. It's very difficult because we all have a physical side of us, a fleshly side, and we know that walking in love takes great effort to let the Holy Spirit love through us. So these scriptures, we're known for these things, and I think it's a wonderful reputation. And I am just so proud and honored to be here among you, because we all walk this walk together. We all have different calls on our lives. We all function in different areas, but we're one together in this one thing. People do know us by our love, and it shows and it matters. you love her today. Your honey today. Your sweetie today. No one else like you. But when you think about Jesus, the lover of your soul, there's no one else like him. No one can love us like he can and like he does. The Word of God tells us that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. And part of what we want to talk about today is this thing called hospitality. The opening scripture this morning, where Paul had made mention of the Colossian believers, that they were known for their faith and their love. Love doesn't mean that we embrace or endorse, because there's a difference between loving a person and loving what the person does. So we can't get into judging and criticizing and tearing each other down. That won't ever take us anywhere with the Lord. Did you know that when Jesus came, he bore the wrath of God upon himself in our place? God's not mad at you anymore. You know, some of you can take a big sigh of relief. I do every day. I'm so thankful. But in our continuation of that theme about being known for God's love and your faith, when I think about hospitality, I often think about it in a home setting, when we fellowship in each other's homes and we talk about the gift of hospitality that a person or persons have been given, and you feel that when you go in their home. There's just a way of graciousness that's extended when you come into another person's home as a guest in their house. How are you received? How are you treated? Are you treated as though you're the most important person in the house when your guests come? And you know, that's the way God treats us, as though we're the most important people in his life. He shows his favor, he shows his mercy, he shows his love, his compassion, his truth, his goodness, his kindness, his mercy. And this morning, if you would with me, please go to Hebrews chapter 13. I won't be too long this morning, I don't think. Ah, I hear a snicker in the back. That's good. That's good. Excuse me, what was the verse? Oh, Hebrews, the coffee chapter. Okay. Verse 1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." Now, that's very important, because Jesus said, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." That's where, over the course of time, getting these truths down on the inside of us has a way of working things into our lives that cause us to stop doing other things. Let brotherly love continue. That means when we break out of this building today and we go our separate ways into our homes, continue means to carry on. Don't break the flow of that love. Make it a lifestyle. Make it a way of living, so that people don't call us hypocrites. They see us walking in love in church, and then we don't treat each other as nicely at home or outside of the building. Let brotherly love continue. That's very important. It becomes a way of life, a lifestyle, so that when people come to your house, they sense and they're aware that the love of God is in your house, that love rules supreme in your homes. And the way we treat each other as husbands and wives, the way we treat our children, the way we treat our guests, are we walking in that love? Jesus said that we're to love others as he loves us. And so it takes work at that sometimes. It doesn't come easy. There's a flesh side of us. And it's very difficult sometimes to come to that place where we can function in this more often than not. In verse 2, Be not forgetful to enter, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And when I talked about the visitors we had that wrote that note to us, when people come here for the first time, what are we like to them? Do we show them the love of Jesus no matter what? I have a very simple policy here. All of you pretty much know it, except for a few that have just kind of come along with us since the last time I said this, but I don't want any rap sheets when you show up at the front door. As far as I'm concerned, you don't have any. And you don't have any reputation either until you make one for yourself. When you come here, it's very important that, because you might be a stranger to us, someone that we don't know. And what can we do as a body to make you loved and welcome and to feel God's presence here? Because it's one thing to see us, but it's another to know that He's in the house. You never know who might come. And I think of the visitors that came and stopped here from Connecticut. It turns out they've been listening to our Sunday morning services on the church website for a very long time. I've seen the counter. There's anywhere from, was 40 yesterday by midday. There's been anywhere from 40 up to 80 to 90 people a day that come to Renewed Life in Jesus' webpage to hear our services, to hear some of the praise songs, some of the teachings, some of the things that you've written and posted on there or gave it to us that we could post it. This place means something to people, even if they may never come here, but if they visit. We don't know. They could be an angel. You know, God appeared and His angels appeared in human form in the Bible, so we don't know. So wouldn't it be nice to treat each person as though they were sent from God in disguise? That'd make a difference, wouldn't it? So it's always important to welcome our visitors, and when people come to our home, that hospitality needs to be the same. And I thought a lot about the word hospitality because the word hospital is in there. And that's no accident. That word is very important. When you think of a hospital, you think of going to a place where, when our bodies are broken and they need help, and you know, prayer is great, but if you need to go to a hospital, you should be there. And it's a place to go, a place of healing, a place to be made whole, a place to be restored. But now think of that on a spiritual level. We're here as a spiritual hospital. Each one of you are a caregiver. You provide the care and the love and the nourishment and the teaching and the training for your children, for each other. You're here all together to manifest healing, to stand in agreement with one another, to pray for each other for healing, for deliverance from addictions and bondages and habits that we're trying to break off our lives. And we're all here. That hospitality needs to be in the house spiritually, because we're a place. I said last week, I made the comment, we're all here because we don't fit anywhere else. Most people wouldn't want some of us in their house. There was a time when I wouldn't have wanted to have been there. But now we're all here. And these principles are so important for us, and I am so happy. I can't hardly wait to get here in the morning, because I know that most all of you are going to be here. You're God's beloveds. You're His chosen. You're His favored ones. And that reflects after a while. I know in the beginning it's like we have to learn a new language. We learn the language of the Word. And once it gets down inside, that's why people experience what they do. This is it's kind of a a bragging on the Jesus in us, not on us. We are who we are. But let people see the real Jesus inside of each one of us. It goes a long ways. 1 Peter chapter 4. Just go to the right. You're very close. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Peter used this word. I have the right reference here. I think I don't. I do? Oh, thank you. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Without grudging. Did you ever catch the drift of those two words, without grudging? That means, oh, you mean I have to be nice to that person? You mean I have to serve them? I have to wait on them? Grudging means murmuring, complaining, finding reasons about that person that you would rather not be around that person. Looking at maybe where they've walked. Looking at things you might be knowing of and aware of that person. But it says use hospitality. Hospitality has been given of us because that's the way God receives us. When you get to heaven, you won't be worried about hospitality. God's already at work building your mansion. We talked about that yesterday, didn't we, Genevieve? That's right. My new mansion. So you got to be thinking about heaven bound. Thinking about patterning what we have now like that which is before us in heaven. The way we love one another, the way we provide and take care of each other. It's very important. When you see a brother or sister in need, do what you can to make a difference. God didn't ask us to help everybody. But help the ones that are in your life. Hospitality is something we've received of the Lord. It's like a gift. And we're to use it. We're to use it wisely. And as every man has received the gift, he minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Extend that in our homes. Everywhere we go, when we greet each other and we see each other in the marketplace, if you will, take a few minutes, grab a hug. The world can't handle that kind of stuff. They wonder, what's wrong with us? And God forbid you smile in the grocery store when the prices just went up. You are really going to arouse suspicion. Get to the cashier at the checkout and you're smiling. And somebody before you just ripped that poor cashier up and down and complained about the prices of food. And you come along and say, I'm so thankful you're working here today. You really make this place shine. A simple little word of kindness to people can turn their day all around. These are all part of our Christian walk. Learning to release those good things that God has put down on the inside of each one of us. Minister the same. That means don't be stingy. Pass it around. That gift of hospitality. Sowing your love. Sowing your grace. Showing your mercy. And sharing that with one another. That's all part of the meal. Of the spiritual hospitality. Whatever's in the house, we make it available. With no show of hands, there's been a few that have lived here over the years. In fact, the day Renewed Life in Jesus opened, a family of four moved in downstairs, and there were only six of us upstairs. We were almost outnumbered by the guests. I didn't know how that was going to happen. How's that going to work? How are the bills going to get paid? How are the costs of the church going to get paid? Well, you know, ever since Renewed Life was founded, I'm very pleased and honored to tell you that whatever we've had, whatever we do have, it all belongs to whoever has need of it. That's how it works. It just belongs to whoever has need. And as a church, as a place where we all come together, you can look around this room and see whom God has joined us with. It's precious. There's no money in the world that can buy a one of you. But you're here. Something connects you with us. Something connects us with each other. And it's the Spirit of God, the lover of our souls. Well, if we go to Matthew chapter 25, we're going to see how well this pays off. Matthew chapter 25. For those of you that have been coming on Wednesday nights, it's the next chapter. We've been in chapter 24 for a while. Chapter 25. There are several parables in chapter 25. I won't get into the parables. That'll be for another time, but for our Bible studies on Wednesday, because we're doing a line-by-line study of Matthew. But for today's purposes, Matthew chapter 25, we want to look at verses 35 and 36. Jesus said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." This is what we're talking about when the Lord speaks to us about hospitality. These are some of the things that matter. It isn't just my quote-unquote job to go to the hospital and see someone that's sick. You never need to call me. You just go. It's the right thing to do. I can only be in one place. What if there's three people sick in three different hospitals all at the same time? You see, as a body, if you see somebody hungry, help with some food. If you see somebody sick, go visit them, pray with them. Don't be afraid to go to jail to visit somebody. At the right time, they'll let you out. Otherwise, you hear the clunk. That's it for you tonight. Yes. If you're thirsty, give someone a drink. You know, and I like it here too when we so much like it to see all of the children that are here. This is such a blessing. And, you know, it's a joy to see them wave the banners and the flags, but you see, Mom and Dad's job is to teach them. Not just to wave the flag, not just to wave the banner, but what's behind it. See, it's Mom and Dad's job to teach them what they're doing. These are wave offerings to the Lord, and it's a sign of love and thanksgiving and an expression of that love. And we're waving our banners before the Lord. So see how it all works as you grow. We want you all here, and we want you to feel very welcome. But when we grow, these are all part of hospitality. It's learning and teaching each other and helping each other out. Sometimes it's nice that, because some of us have had children and now they're all grown up, and how many times it was so wonderful that somebody would just maybe take a crying baby and just go comfort the baby so that Mom and Dad could be here to hear the word. Because you see, we have some young believers here, and we just want to help you. We want to provide a climate for you to grow and be nurtured in the Lord. We don't want anybody to leave and not have your needs met. That's very important to us. That there's something here for each of you, no matter how young you are or how old you are. There's something here for you, each one of you. And collectively, there's more than enough. Naked and you clothed me. I saw a Facebook entry this morning. Someone has a need for some clothing, for your children that are growing so quickly. If you have any used clothing, but they're in really good shape, don't give anybody your junk. But if you got some good children's clothes, the kids have outgrown them. Let these young moms know what you got, because it's hard to keep up with your kids. They grow really fast and they grow out of clothes fast. But you see, that's where the local church is important. Yes, we minister overseas. We work with the food kitchen in Bellas Falls. But what about among us? This thing about hospitality is very important. Things that we can overlook. So today, I believe the Lord is just giving me a reminder of the spiritual reasons that we come together. What makes the body of Christ unique? Because we should be a self-sustaining unit under the authority of Christ as our head. Little things that we might not think of. I was a stranger and you took me in. We didn't know that family very well that lived downstairs for 6 months. Besides that, they were of a denomination. My God, we're a non-denomination. What are we going to do with them? It was wonderful. See, we just don't know any different. If this says to do something, we just do it. And that's where we all got to grow to. If God says to do something, just do it. Don't put up an argument. Because you know what? You never win. God's always right. So you don't waste your time asking God why. He's always right. He just always is. It's so cool. Save all that hot air for a good prayer. And then the blessing of that, down in verse 40. Here's the reason that this is important. And the king, with a capital K, I want to tell you, these things are going to be spoken to each one of us at the judgment seat of Christ, when every one of us as a born-again believer is going to stand one day, not to be judged about our salvation, but about what have we done to make a difference in the lives of others with the gifts, the skills, the talents, and the abilities that the Lord has put inside of each one of us. And one day the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Do you know that when you come to that place and you walk with the Lord where everything you do is motivated by this? It changes the way we treat each other, changes the way we talk with each other, the respect and honor that we show one another. It's as though it's Jesus himself. When we do the least little thing to the person that we esteem the least, Jesus said, it's as though we're doing it unto him. That is so precious. Those are treasured words from heaven this morning. Because when we grow to that place in our walk where we see everyone, whatever we do, whatever we say, however we tweet one another. Yes, I'm not a tweeter yet. I haven't mastered that technology. I'm just getting into texting. But however we treat one another, it's as though we're doing it to Jesus himself. So the next time you want to get mad and give someone a piece of your mind, you better be careful. You might not have many left. Because when you learn to walk as he walked and to love as he loved, you'll find it gets easier and easier and easier, because then you don't have to pick and choose. You just treat everyone the same. Because ultimately, Jesus said, whatever we do, we're doing it as unto him. And that changes our attitudes, it changes our motives, it changes our reasons even for being believers. And it's wonderful. It is just so wonderful to know that. And then, Mark chapter 9, my closing scripture for this. I said I wouldn't be too long with it, but these words will last a lifetime. Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. Have any whosoever's in the house? Yeah? All whosoever? Okay. Well, this could be you today. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. The simplest of little things, opening a door for someone, helping someone up or down the steps if you happen to be there, willing and able, just the smallest things are not overlooked by the Lord. Even if you think that you haven't mastered any great and lofty, mighty things, can you imagine there's even going to be a reward for giving a thirsty person a drink of water? The things we take for granted, the little things, those are big with God. So much so that Jesus actually wrote about that. Isn't that awesome? The care that you give a person. You might be the only Jesus they'll ever know. And who's the first people to see us in our houses, our kids? Because you belong to Christ. The great value and the great treasure of that fact. We belong to Him now. And He said, that person would not lose his reward. That tells me there's rewards. There are rewards for all of us. Those are to be given not only at the judgment seat of Christ, but there's rewards from God every day. Each one of us. We call them blessings. We always might say it's a manifestation of God's favor in our lives. But all the little things that we do make a huge difference. And all I can say today is thank you, Lord, for reminding us. We're always thinking of the big things. But let's allow the Lord to refresh us in our thinking and in our spirit today. Look for the small things in life. They mean everything to God. And if God's in it, it isn't small, is it? It draws the attention of heaven. So keep doing what you're doing. Do good to all, especially the household of faith, the word says. But we never will go wrong doing the right thing, because it's always the right thing to do. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this word today. I thank you for how to cross in. And I thank you that it's reminded us, but also encouraged us, that you've called us, you've chosen us. We belong to you. And your Holy Spirit lives inside of each one of us to lead us and guide us into all the truth. And Lord, today as we spend the rest of this day together, may we show this hospitality one to another in genuineness and truth and in love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Your great name.